G'day, it's Phil Edwards, Vision CEO here, with a quick invitation to become part of this amazing beacon of hope called Vision. Together we can put our love into action to help people of all kinds build or rebuild their lives on the truth of God. Please consider the part you can play during our upcoming Visionathon appeal, remembering that it's your support that makes Vision possible, including this podcast.
Audio on demand from Vision Christian Media.
The biblical feasts are like that. They're supposed to make you anticipate what is coming so that you never forget. Each feast is biblically prophetic. Every feast featured a major event in Jesus' life. Every major event of Jesus' life happened during one of the feasts.
Today with Jeff Vines, pastor, apologist, and Bible teacher.
Hello, this is Today with Jeff Vines. My name is Bill. Welcome and thanks for joining us. In the lead up to Easter, we're excited to bring you this new series, Eat and Remember. And in this message, Pastor Jeff has been speaking about the importance of gathering around the family table and the deeper meaning behind gathering like this. Let's hear the rest of this message as Pastor Jeff journeys through Revelation chapter 6 and Revelation chapter 16.
Listen, can I ask you something? I'm always going to hear somebody say, no, you can't. Have you ever got down on your knees and started to pray? And suddenly it dawned on you that you're talking to the creator of the universe. I mean, you like to get down, you like to pray, you're on your knees, and suddenly you start to open your mouth, and suddenly you realize, this is not just my mate. This is the God of the universe who could wipe me out. And suddenly it came over you that maybe you should be a little more serious about repentance. That this God deserves your respect and your awe, and that violations on the precepts of God, the way we live, actually matter to Him. And to think that they don't is to belittle the holiness, the cosmic God. Look, I'm afraid that we've lost this understanding of God. Rosh Hashanah is going to help us. My father loved me, but I can tell you I had a healthy fear and respect for my dad. I knew that my dad would die for me. I knew that my dad would do anything to save me. And quite frankly, I believe that God gave me this kind of father because God knew He was going to call me into ministry. So I've got a pretty clear understanding that God can love you and protect you while at the same time you fear Him that He might take you behind a woodshed. That love and discipline are not mutually exclusive terms. They can work together. And that's why the week that precedes Rosh Hashanah, the people come together. Imagine thousands of people. Just think of this, coming together and asking God, begging for His mercy before the judge sits on the throne. And they take part in this interesting ritual that is called teshlik, which means casting off. And they would gather together, hundreds and hundreds of them would gather together around streams and rivers, and they would cast breadcrumbs into the water, and the breadcrumbs would represent the sins in their life of the previous year. Now, here's the question I have. How big would you think your bag of crumbs would be? I don't know about you, but I'd need more than one bag. I know that my sins bring a sort of darkness to my soul, a short circuit between me and my God. And I think that's why Rosh Hashanah, we're going to learn things like this, is the only feast that occurs on the day of the new moon. The new moon. Do you know much about the new moon? Do you know the new moon is not very bright? It's not full. It hardly shines at all. It's kind of a dark dish of sorts. It's the darkest night of the month. Sounds more like the old moon rather than the new moon. But this is appropriate, because Rosh Hashanah signals the day of the Lord. Now listen carefully. Rosh Hashanah is the day in the Jewish community that God sits in judgment over His people. But there is a Rosh Hashanah coming. There's a Rosh Hashanah that's coming. You cannot stop it. The Messiah has fulfilled the first four feasts. There is a break, a season, and then the fall feasts come. And in those fall feasts, this future prophetic fulfillment called in the New Testament, titled the Day of the Lord. When you read about the Day of the Lord, you're reading about the fulfillment of Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets. By the way, when you hear the word trumpet, what do you think of? I think of two things. One, I think of battle. I think of battle. Blow the trumpet, let's go. But I also think of judgment, because every time in the book of Revelation that you read of judgment, somebody's blowing a trumpet. Rosh Hashanah, the Day of the Lord. And the day will come, listen now, the day Rosh Hashanah will come just as surely as these other days have come. And the trumpet will blow, and no one will be able to escape. It is appointed unto man once to die, then to face the judgment. Isn't it a harsh reality to know that one day an end of grace and mercy will come? You live in the time of grace and mercy, but the day will come when judgment comes. Do you know why that it grew dark on the cross? Remember what we talked about Passover, when the darkness came over the Israelites and the Egyptians? And then on the cross, when Jesus died, what happened? Darkness fell over the earth. The new moon is the darkest day. Rosh Hashanah celebrated on the darkest day. Why the darkness? Why did it grow dark when Jesus was on the cross? Because this is a signal, a sign of sin and wickedness being judged, where God emptied out his wrath on the sins of the world through the atonement of the Son. Don't you find it amazing that Amos told us in Amos 5:18, woe to you who long for the day of the Lord. Why do you long for the day of the Lord? That day will be darkness, not light. Zephaniah in Zephaniah 1:15, that day will be a day of wrath, a day of distress and anguish, a day of trouble and ruin, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness. Matthew 24, Jesus said, immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Rosh Hashanah is supposed to tell you and me that sin is serious business, that judgment and darkness go hand in hand. And that's why, you with me still? Okay, just say amen so I know you're alive. Okay, amen. This is important. The Messianic Jew, you know what a Messianic Jew is, right? A Messianic Jew is a Jew that now receives Messiah, believes Messiah is Savior of the world. Messianic Jews who study the feast and study the scriptures believe that Jesus will return during the feast of Rosh Hashanah. They say that God always keeps his appointed times. We may not know the day or the year, but we indeed know the season, because every single event of Messiah coincides with the celebration of a feast. Well, stay with me. Going around third. 10 days after Rosh Hashanah, or Feast of Trumpets, the holiest day of the year came, which is what? Judgment comes in Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Do you remember what happens? I mean, I can't go into everything now. We're going to discuss this later in greater detail. But imagine thousands of people, man, hundreds of thousands even, coming in and around the tabernacle, and they're standing in awe of God, and their hope is that God's going to forgive them for all their sins. I mean, have you ever wept over your sins of a previous year? Have you ever just experienced shame in your failures to the point that you're begging God for forgiveness, and you're begging that he would bless you and your family and your children and your grandchildren in the coming year? That's what they did at the beginning of every year during Rosh Hashanah. And let me read to you the prayers. I've tried to this is translated into English now. This is the best we can do. But as they stood in their Hebrew language, they would say, for the sin which we have committed before thee with unclean lips, and for the sin that which we have committed before thee with impure speech, for the sin which we have committed before thee wittingly or unwittingly, for all these, O God of forgiveness, forgive us, pardon us, grant us atonement. And in the book of life, blessing, peace, and good sustenance, may we be remembered and inscribed before thee. Did you notice the prayer is we instead of I? This is another thing you're going to learn in the feasts, that God delivers judgment collectively as a congregation. It's a national prayer of forgiveness and confession on a corporate level. Do you understand that in the Old Testament, the people of God, one person's sin would impact the whole community? When judgment comes on a nation, everybody suffers. When judgment comes on the body of Christ, everyone suffers because God withdraws his presence. Even the great prophets who warned the people, this is coming, judgment is coming, judgment is coming. When it came on the prophets too. The prophet said, if you don't repent, that God's going to send in a foreign nation. We're going to be taken into captivity. Guess what? The prophets went into captivity too. You and I see everything from an individual perspective, but God sees it from a corporate one. And the purpose of Yom Kippur was to cleanse the house of God, to cleanse the people of God, and to atone for the sins of every individual so that blessings might come. But they don't come without repentance. Look, Monday night, this Monday night, a bunch of people are going to gather in here, in this room. And they do the first Monday night of every month. And they're going to come with great expectation. They want to experience God. We are desperate for Him. We want to experience God in a way that we never have before. We want to see Him in a way that we've never seen Him before. But we know that requires revival, and revival requires repentance. And so do you know that even if you're not here, we pray for you? Because you're part of our body. We pray for everyone that God will forgive us. And He will bring restoration to us, and He will bless us in the coming year. And Yom Kippur was the one day a year that the high priest was allowed to stand before the Ark of the Covenant and the Holy of Holies inside the sanctuary. And he would sprinkle blood on the Ark. And he would purify all the other furnishings because they had been contaminated by the people who had brought their sins in the previous year. And you remember what would happen on Yom Kippur? Oh, it must have been amazing to be there. The priest would bring two goats. He would have to sacrifice one goat for himself, because before you meet with God, you better sacrifice for your own sins. And then he'd bring another goat for the entire congregation of people. And he would take his hands and he would place them on the head of the goat as a transference of all the nation's sins on the head of this one goat. And they would place a red cord around his head. And then they would lead the goat. Actually, they wouldn't. They would hire a Gentile. No Jew wanted to go with that goat. All the sins were on the head of the goat. So they had hired a Gentile, literally hire a Gentile to come in. Hey, take the goat out into the wilderness. They'd take the goat out into the wilderness as far as the east is from the west. And that's where the idea comes from. He has forgiven our sins as far as the east is from the west. So there is the Yom Kippur of Christ when He dies on the cross and atones for the sins of man. There is a coming Yom Kippur, when that forgiveness is exacted upon the people just before we live with God in the kingdom that is to come. Now listen, this is the end. You've done well. I'm going to cut it short because I realize we could be here all night, but please get this part, okay? You all right? All campuses, please stay with me. This is the end. I need you to understand this. This has been a personal struggle of my own. And that's why you probably hear that in my voice. This is a personal struggle. How can I harmonize the Lamb of God with the wrath of the Lamb that I keep reading about in Revelation? The Revelation Lamb is mean. He's angry. In fact, this passage that I ask you to turn to, Revelation 6:12, I watched as He opened the sixth seal. There was a great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair. The whole moon turned blood red. And the stars in the sky fell to the earth as figs dropped from a fig tree when shaken by a strong wind. The heavens receded like a scroll being rolled up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. Then the kings of the earth, the princes, the generals, the rich, the mighty, and everyone else, both slave and free, hid in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. Verse 16, they call to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can withstand it? Jesus comes first as a sacrificial lamb led to the slaughter, Yom Kippur. And He does not open His mouth. He dies lovingly and willingly. He comes as a sacrificial lamb. But when He returns, He's no longer the sacrificial lamb. He returns as the kingsman redeemer. He returns for the purpose of exacting vengeance on those who have persecuted His family. Revelation 6, verse 9b, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. They called out in a loud voice, how long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until You judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood? There's a day of vengeance coming. Now, this is the future Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of the Trumpets, and this is when Armageddon occurs. Armageddon, like everything else I've told you, has been so sensationalized. oh, it's China coming over to fight the Russians. That would have meant a lot to John. Yeah. What did John see? Folks, the word Armageddon is only in the Bible one time. It's in verse 16 of chapter 16. Then they gathered the kings together to the place that in Hebrew is called Armageddon. Now, do you think it might be a sign to us when it says the place that is in Hebrew called Armageddon? There's no such Hebrew word as Armageddon. The writer takes two Hebrew words, the word for mountain, which is Har, and the word for Megiddo, which is where all the Old Testament battles were fought. Do you see what he's trying to say to us? That the day is coming, and you read about it in other parts of Revelation, the day is coming when all the kingdoms of the earth and the kings and the leaders will gather together and they will try to fight against Michael and the archangel and overthrow God once and for all as they did in the Tower of Babel. This is not a war between China and Russia and America and Canada, whoever. This is the final war. This is the final Rosh Hashanah when the devil and his angels and the beasts of the earth and the beasts of the sea and they all gather their armies in the heaven. And guess what? They lose. But Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur had their fulfillment in Christ. God judged sin on the cross. Darkness fell. And Yom Kippur, God atoned for the sins of man on the cross, and our sins were transferred onto the head of Jesus, upon whose head was a crown of thorns, where there would have been a red ring. So what happens now? What do we do from here? These seven biblical feasts are going to tell us something paramount. And here's what it is. And it's what we've forgotten. Redemption and judgment are inextricably tied together. You cannot have one without the other. And sin is a serious issue. And you're going to be warned to get serious about both. That if there's sin in your life, judgment is coming. Unrepentant sin is very dangerous when you say, I can keep living this way. After all, I'm saved by grace through faith. D.L. Moody said, repentance is getting off one train and onto another. You're in the wrong train, man. Get out, get off today, right about face. John Owen said, if you're not killing sin, sin will be killing you. The writer of the Hebrews said, oh, this is amazing. In your struggle against sin, you've not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. Because I believe in what we're about to do and the lessons we're going to learn, I'm going to ask you to do something, and I got about 3 minutes to do it. I'm going to ask everybody on every campus if you'd stand with me right now. Don't worry. If you're a visitor here, you're thinking, what's going to happen? Don't worry. You're safe. You're safe. Only do this if you're serious. If you're not serious, just stand there and act like you are. Nobody will know. Can we repent this weekend? As a church body, can we repent? As they did on the Day of Atonement, that God may bless us in these next weeks leading up to Easter, that we may have the greatest Easter we've ever known. And if you agree with that, I'm going to ask you to repeat the prayer that's been translated into our language with me. Repeat after I say it. For the sin which we have committed,
the sin which we have committed,
before thee with unclean lips,
before thee with unclean lips,
and for the sin which we have committed,
the sin which we have committed,
before thee with impure speech,
before thee with impure speech,
for the sin which we have committed,
the sin which we have committed,
before thee wittingly or unwittingly,
before thee wittingly or unwittingly,
for all these,
for all these,
O God of forgiveness,
forgive us,
pardon us,
grant us atonement.
Okay, now be seated. Now recognize, if you prayed that prayer and you were serious, you're clean. That's where the atonement comes in. If you pray that prayer and you're serious, you're clean. I don't care what you did. I care. But no matter what you did, the blood of Christ is able to cover every sin. Then there's a second thing I want to ask you to do on every campus. And that's every individual. This sin that's been in your life far too long now, far too long. You've heard Pastor Jeff talk about it for 12 years. Repent now. You got to get rid of it now. You got to honestly mean that you want to get off this train and go on another. Because until you truly mean it, you're not going to have the power of the Spirit to enable you to do it. Some of you are involved in something. You're not going to get out of it on your own. You're in too deep. The demon is in too deep, Jesus said in Luke 10. It's in too deep. You're going to need remedial help. But it starts by you truly wanting to repent. And I'm asking you, do not leave. Because Rosh Hashanah is coming and you don't know when. Maybe it's this September. Hey, if you knew it was this September, would you live differently from now to then? You bet your life you would. I would. But it's coming and you don't know when. So you're a Christ follower. Fantastic. You're saved by grace through faith. Fantastic. Be careful. Don't think you can keep living this way with no repentance and no sorrow and no damage will be done. Whatever it is. Pornography, get rid of the computer, get rid of the phone, get rid of whatever you have to. Jesus said, cut your arm off if you have to. The sin of greed and power, a lack of generosity, drugs, alcoholism, whatever it is, get rid of it. And when the people of God get serious about living a holy life, we will see him. We will experience him like we've never experienced him before. And revival will come. A nation is judged by the one. So is the people of God. So is the congregation of God. Repent and we will see him when Easter comes. Father, I pray that anything I've said that is inaccurate for forgiveness, it was not done willfully, for mercy, for it to be thrown and cast to the side, a seed upon a path that's trampled on. Anything that's been said that accurately represents the word of God and your truth, then I pray would go deep into the spiritual constitution of everyone in this room, everyone listening, everyone in Rancho, everyone in Westco, New Zealand, Australia, London, Europe, Africa, around the world. You have saved us through the atonement of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You have sanctified us by your Holy Spirit. And now cleanse us with your word as we repent, that we may go into a new season as an individual and as a church that is serious about dealing with the sin in our lives so that darkness may never fall. And that we can be the light of the world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Today with Jeff Vines. Next time, we'll bring you a new message from Pastor Jeff. You can listen to more messages like this. Just search for Today with Jeff Vines wherever you get your podcasts. You make me
Today with Jeff Vines.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.